congregation please rise in our number 288, Good Christian Friends Rejoice, hymn 288. O most merciful God, we confess we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following in the front of your hymnal. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, defend us, gracious Lord. Today is only the second day of the 12 days of Christmas, two turtle doves. So we're still singing Christmas hymns this Sunday and next Sunday. Next Sunday may be more strange Christmas hymns, but that's okay. These are familiar ones. Angels We Have Heard on High is our hymn of praise today. In number 289, we sing all the verses of it. Hymn 289, Angels We Have Heard on High.
The first reading, the Old Testament lesson for today, the second day of Christmas, two turtle doves, is from the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel. This sort of parallels the gospel of today, so listen carefully to this lesson and then remember it when we read the gospel for today. An explanation first. The firstborn child to Hannah, who was thought to be barren, and her husband Elkanah, was dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem. Samuel was his name. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli, the priest, would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. And the Lord took note of Hannah. She conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters more. Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalmody for today is Psalm 148, and we read it responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all God's angels. Praise the Lord, all God's hosts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, you highest heavens and you waters above.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God commanded and they were created. The Lord established them forever and ever. God fixed their bonds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For the Lord's name alone is exalted. God's glory is above earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up a horn for God's people, praise for all God's faithful. For the people of Israel who are close to God, praise the Lord. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. The second reading for today, the celebration of Christmas, the second day of Christmas out of the 12, is from the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for today, the first Sunday of Christmas, the second day of the 12 days, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, the rabbis, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus said to his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother pondered, the word from last Sunday, all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in years and in divine and human favor. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 2nd chapter. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. My sister Jody, the only sibling I have, she's 2 years younger than me. I thought she was either 8, 9, or 10 when this event happened. I was wrong, but that comes later. If she was 8, I would have been 10 years old, and I should have known better. Because my sister Jody, at 8 years old, was old enough to go to the bathroom by herself. We were traveling from Oregon to Ohio, somewhere, on I-80, at some strange gas station, and she had to go to the bathroom. So my parents sent her off. Why I didn't say something, I don't know, but I think I learned something later on, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Those were more innocent days, letting a child go to the bathroom by herself in a strange gas station out in the middle of nowhere. But as I remember the story, Dad asked Jody a question as he drove off from the gas station. And as we were driving down the road, there was no response. Oops. I looked over to where she, my sister, would backseat on her side of the car. We each had our own side. Don't you come across the middle line. And nobody was there. "Dad, Jody is not in the back seat," I said. My dad made a U-turn, went back to the gas station and got her, somewhere in the middle of Nebraska. Now, I'm getting old. I look 85, I'm only 62, but I'm getting old and gray, and I can be forgetful. I thought she was like 8 years old or 9 or 10, but then that'd make me 12, and I should have known better than to let my dad drive off. The beginning of the week, I've been thinking about this lesson, actually, for 3 weeks, this sermon, because I knew there would be a busy weekend, even without that. And so I've been thinking for 3 weeks about this sermon. At the beginning of the week, I talked to my sister, who was in Bend, Oregon with my mother for the holiday. And I said, "Jody, do you remember this at all?" And she said, "No, that never happened." I thought, am I crazy? Now, don't answer that for her, okay? I thought, I'm not dreaming this. I'm not making this up. Well, last night, I called my mother and my sister after a full day of finishing sermons and shoveling snow. A lot of good that did. But I shoveled all the snow around my house, and God showed me what for, made me humble. But I called my mom and my sister up last night, and my sister said, no, it never happened. Yay, she's not traumatized by it. Because my mother then got on the phone and said, you know, all week, and yeah, it did happen. I went, well, thank you, I'm not so dumb. But get this, my sister was 5 years old and I was 7. Why would you let a 5-year-old go to a strange bathroom in a strange foreign land out in the middle of nowhere? But it was different times back then. I got off the hook then. I gave myself reprieve because I thought, I was 7 years old. Who am I supposed to be? Am I my sister's keeper? No. So when my dad asked a question of Jody, my sister, and there was no answer, I said, I looked over and she goes, she's not there. Now, that's not uncommon. My sister's been known to roll out of a moving car twice in her life. That was before seat belts and all. Door open, she rolled out. It's like, Dad, Jody's gone again. I thought about this story in my life as I read the gospel for today. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the festival for the Passover. Okay, it's kind of like Christmas. Even through the snow and the blow, college students drive home for Christmas, especially the first year. Wait till you're a junior or senior, you won't be coming back home. You know, you'll be with friends somewhere. Your mom will be weeping and wailing, and your grandmother and your cousin, but you won't be here. I'll remind you when you're a junior and senior. Every year they went up to the festival of Passover, the high holy day, okay, when they remembered God's salvation. And when Jesus was 12 years old, okay, think bar mitzvah, he's an adult now, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Okay. And then this is the part that I remembered and what I thought about for today. Then they, mom and dad, started to look for him among their relatives and friends. My mother and my sister last night kind of put it together. They said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, well, the gospel. Well, that was 12 years later. We just had the baby, like the Carlsons. We're going to celebrate. Don Carlson had a great grandson named after him, born at 12:30 this morning. In the snow and the blow. We're going to celebrate him during the prayers. But I get ahead of myself. I'm excited for him. Okay? We just had a baby yesterday. And now he's 12 years old? Well, let's backtrack. Okay? What stuck in my mind when I read this lesson 3 weeks ago in preparation for today, because I knew it was going to be a busy week, Christmas, they, Mary and Joseph, started to look for Jesus among their relatives and friends. What was the story yesterday and Friday night as we gathered together? Remember this story? It wasn't that long ago only. Okay? There was no place for them in the inn. Okay, I get it. There were no motel rooms or hotel rooms available because it was a high festival day of Passover. Of course they didn't make reservations. Why didn't they make reservations? There's no room in any inn during Passover. The city is inundated by hundreds and thousands of people that would come back to Mecca, pun intended, back to Jerusalem, to remember the Exodus, the salvation from death and slavery in Egypt. My thought is, if 12 years later they had all kinds of family and friends with them on this journey, where were the family and friends at the birth? She's pregnant riding a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's an 80-mile drive. You think Walla Walla's far away. And I was going to say, try it when you're pregnant and that, but don't do that. Your mother and grandmother are here, they're shaking their heads, don't do that. 80-mile trip on the back of a donkey when you're pregnant. Talk about inducing labor. So maybe she didn't have it along the road somewhere. Where were their family and friends? Now, you need to know the backstory here, and I don't want to get into a lot of history. You tell David I'm thinking of him, the whole history thing. But there's a big debate among us for 2,000 years of why did they go to Bethlehem? Well, it says for the census. What did Caesar Augustus care how many Jewish people there are in Bethlehem? Did he care how many Jewish people were in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Nazareth and all that kind of thing? I think not. Now, for us, it's important. For Matthew and Luke, especially Luke, It's important that he's born in Bethlehem because that's the city of David. That's where David was from. And we were going to have a Messiah in the line of King David. So he should be born, not in a palace or anything, but at least in the town David was born in. But for Caesar Augustus, who required this, this was one of the first, okay, one of the first enrollments. It could have been to find out who the lineage of people were, what ethnic background they are, or, this is where I put my money, it could have to do with taxation and money. He wanted to tax everybody. He wanted to be able to pay for his armies and pay for everything that he was doing around the world as he built up his empire. I think it has the latter. I think it has to do with money and taxation. You know, follow the money, I kept saying for the past 2 years. Follow the money. That's how they got Al Capone. Forget the Valentine's Day massacre. Al Capone, it was tax evasion. Follow the money. Where were, if Joseph was from Bethlehem, where were all of the relatives? He could have knocked on the door and said, hey, we're here a day early and she's pregnant and we may have a baby tonight at 12:30 in the morning. Help us. Well, some theologians said they all moved from Bethlehem to Nazareth, which makes sense if you look at this story. They all came to Bethlehem or to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration festival, and then they're all going back. And so it says, they, Mary, and Joseph started to look for Jesus among their relatives and friends, traveling back to Nazareth. But didn't the relatives and friends come also? Where did they stay? They weren't all in the stable with Mary and Joseph. Do you see where I'm going here? Why didn't I, as I thought I was 12 years old or 10 years old, I was only 7, so I'd give off the hook. You know, I'm not watching my sister in that seat. I mean, that was far. Those were big cars back then, too. Way on the other side of the car was a far, far away. It's amazing how the center line, though, we got to the point where my mother got so angry, my father, too, but he was driving, so he couldn't hit us or anything, and he never did. Neither did my mother, sort of. Anyhow, we got to the point where we would go on the other side of the center line. They never put a piece of tape there or anything, but we knew the center line, and so then we got to the point where we were the line, you know, just to irritate the person on the other side. We'd go, and Mom and Dad, we were still sitting, you know, we reached as far as we could to get on the center line because we were by the door, and, you know, ha, ha, ha. Where were all the friends and relatives on Christmas night as Mary and Joseph are stuck in a stable with the animals giving birth to their firstborn? Some pastors, and I've heard it in the past 40 years of my life, adult life, whatever, is that Mary and Joseph were immigrants or refugees or displaced or poor. Ha! I say, ha! They weren't immigrants. They were going to a party. They were going to the festival. They were going to Las Vegas, Jerusalem for the high festival day. Mardi Gras, think New Orleans. Or New Orleans, if you're from there. They had enough money for the trip, okay, and to have a donkey. And if you are in the same side is the theologians I agree with, the reason they went to Bethlehem is for the census, because Joseph owned property in Bethlehem. What? I've always said the most important investment anyone can make in their life is to own land. I have never owned anything greater than what's parked in the parking lot right now. I've never had a house, land, I've never had any of that. I have friends that were smart in their 20s, pay attention, college students, who would purchase land, you know, save $1,000 a year and then purchase land somewhere. I never knew where I was going to end up. I may go right from the pulpit here to the nursing home in American Falls. There you go. I've told my family that, you know. Don't look for me anywhere. I'll be at the nursing home. When are you going to retire, Pastor? Well, I'll either die before I retire or I'm going to the nursing home. Yeah. He owned land. He was a property owner in Bethlehem. That's the thing they don't tell you in seminary, okay? Because we're reading between the lines here. But not only did he own land in Bethlehem, but he owned land in Nazareth. He was oh my word! And then he was a carpenter. He was a tradesman. He wasn't poor. They could afford to go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. They could afford to go to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. So why the heck were they stuck in a stable? Well, there's theological reasons for that too. Jesus was not born in a palace with a gold spoon in his mouth. Jesus wasn't born where there were nannies and all kinds of wet nurses and that, which they had back then too. He was born in a very humble way, in a very humble place. And you've heard me say for 13 years, he was laid in a feed trough, his cradle. And so we come to the banquet table and we feed on his body and blood. Bethlehem is named way before Jesus came to earth. It's called the house of bread in Hebrew, Bethlehem, house of bread. What better place for the bread of life to be born than in the house of bread? Let alone it's King David's birthplace too. Where were the friends and relatives the night? Let's say that they all had motel rooms. They all had reservations. Why didn't they say, oh, come, there's only two of them. By morning, there was three of them. Well, why didn't they say, come stay with us? And that's where my craw has been the past 3 weeks. Joseph, what were the family dynamics here? Because it says 12 years later, they, Mary and Joseph, started looking for him, Jesus, among all their relatives and friends. Well, they didn't come out of the woodwork in 12 years. They were there 12 years before. They, the relatives and friends, may have all moved to Nazareth also, but they were in Jerusalem on that night. And so my question is, where do all of our family members and friends lay or reside during the holidays? We have enough people here that I won't ask the question individually. If there were five less people here, we'd go around the whole place and say, where are all your family? You know? For me, my family members are in Oregon, Washington, and I have a few friends still left on the East Coast and the Midwest. That's why I pay so much in postage to send them all gifts. They got cards this year. A check is the very thin thing, you know, you don't have to pay postage for it. Now, where are all your family and friends this week? Where are they, not physically, but in your life? Why didn't Mary and Joseph's family and friends invite them to be with them, especially when she's 9 months pregnant, being induced by an 80-mile ride on a donkey's back? Not biblical. The Hebrew people call that Midrash or Mishnah. Okay? When you ask the question, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? That's one of the first questions you ask in Old Testament religion. Because of course they didn't. They didn't need a belly button. When you see paintings done by Michelangelo and that, you always look at their belly button and see if they have one, because it's like, well, that's not the real Adam and Eve. It's kind of like Jesus. When Jesus is painted after the death on the cross, if he doesn't have nail holes in his hands and his feet, the hole in his side is covered by his robe. But if he doesn't have nail holes in his hands and feet, that's not the Jesus we worship. So the question I'm asking, maybe Mishnah and Midrash in the Hebrew, maybe, where were the relatives? And my question for you is, where are your relatives? Not physically, but in your heart and in your life. Even within our family, we have estrangement by some of our cousins and second cousins for various reasons, alcohol, drugs. We have one cousin that's homeless on the streets of Portland, Oregon right now. No home, no job. He has a wife, 3 kids. And it kills us all because we've tried to help him, but he doesn't want our help. So it works both ways. Where are your family and friends in your life this day? Do you provide room? You know, there's the question. Do you provide room for them in your lives? Or do you say, sorry, all filled up. You had no reservations. You didn't respond to my invitation or my card. Fine. That's really the sermon for today. Merry Christmas. Happy second day. Actually, do you know what today is? In the church here, we're supposed to celebrate the Holy Innocents, it's called. The Holy Innocents are the babies who were killed in Bethlehem the next 2 years before the wise men came. Okay? It was up to 2 years when they were traveling from Persia, modern-day Iraq and Turkey, Iran. Okay? And fable has it, I wrote to some family and friends about this, fable has it that 200,000 babies were slaughtered in order to kill the baby Jesus. Well, they fled, right? We know the story. Mary and Joseph get an angel visitation. The angel says, go to Egypt. They won't look for you there. They may look for you in Nazareth. They may look for you in Bethlehem because they know that you own land in both places. Property owner, go to Egypt. Well, that's Moses. Where did Moses come from? Egypt. Yeah. So there's a lineage there too. Archaeologists and historians now say it wasn't 200,000. That's a medieval inflation. You know, it's a fish story. So 200,000 babies killed. That's what we celebrate today on the 26th in the church. Well, it was really only about 20 to 22 babies. The firstborn male sons of Hebrew people. Well, Bethlehem was a small enough town, maybe like Aberdeen or Rockland, that even 22, well, it'd be bigger than Aberdeen or Rockland, right? Yeah, there wouldn't be 22 firstborn Hebrew babies in Aberdeen or Rockland. Where did they all come from? But it was a small enough town that there wasn't 200,000 firstborn Hebrew babies born in 2 years. Yay for the midwives. That's what we're supposed to be celebrating. The day after the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the birth of your great-grandson, the newest member of your family, then we celebrate the Holy Innocents, it's called. Do you remember Sandy Hook, back on the East Coast? 22 people, 20 children were killed in their school that year and said, yeah, Holy Innocents. One baby dying is terrible. Don and Janice Carlson's baby are 2 months preemie in the hospital in Pocatello, NICU. And hopefully we'll pull out of it, okay? 2 months. They can, 4 months, 5 months now. It's amazing what they can do with premature babies. And so we will pray for the baby, Cash, and for the parents, and the great-grandparents, and the grandparents. So it's not so strange that instead of dealing with the Holy Innocents, that's a whole other sermon, I'm dealing with, where are the relatives in your life? Do you have room for them in the end? Another sermon, which is for another year, but I have to say it because I've waited all year. Our Sunday school classes did a DVD, right? We couldn't get together and have a program or anything, so we did a DVD, and it was marvelous. And I heard from 3 or 4 people, especially from out of town. They watched the DVD and said, there was mud at the manger. They were so thrilled. You never have mud at the manger when it's in the church. But we went out to the Porath's farm, and they got one of their stalls ready, and the shepherds were there, and Mary and Joseph were there. They even had a donkey. Cool. That's another sermon. And there was mud. The people noticed on the DVD, there was mud at the manger. Well, run with that one, folks. Mud is a polite word for another M word. Okay? Or an S word that I can't say alone from the pulpit. Mud at the manger. Jesus came to save us from the mud in the world, from the mud in our lives. That's a whole other sermon, so I won't go down that road. Just think about it. And then the final thing, before I shut up here, it's good. You're getting your money's worth over time. The final thing is, on Christmas Eve, for those of you who are here Christmas Eve, I don't know how well you look at the artwork. Artwork is very important to me. That's my undergraduate degree. Yeah, a BFA in art. $40,000 artist. Oh, boy. I didn't draw the picture on the front of the bulletin on Christmas Eve, but I took it from a Roman Catholic wood carver. Our Xerox machine was doing wonky things. It was getting a toner. And so everything that was black was really black, and then things that were white were even sort of gray. If you look at the bulletin cover from Christmas Eve, if you save that, see, you should save these things. I mean, talk about the next day or 2 days later. The donkey had bloodshot eyes. It was so cool. I mean, there was Mary and Joseph and the baby, and then the ox was there, or the cattle, chewing its cud with its eyes closed. But the donkey was looking at the baby, and the donkey, because of the toner, looked like it had bloodshot eyes. Now, I know that I'm reading into it, Midrash and Mishnah, but I thought, how appropriate. That poor donkey traveled 80 miles with a pregnant woman on his back, her back, donkey, darn, yeah, I need to do my mules. Or sexless. Yeah, anyway, we won't go down that road. It's Christmas. Children are present. He or she, the donkey, had to work really hard. And the donkey had bloodshot eyes. Because why? There was a baby born that night. He couldn't even get any sleep, the poor donkey. And I know that the Christmas carol, Away in the Manger, says, no crying he makes. But I beg to differ. I believe that Jesus was true God and true man. Truly human, and babies weep and wail and cry. So sometime during that night, the poor baby woke up the donkey, and the donkey's standing there with bloodshot eyes. I love that. So, question for you, and then I will shut up, I promise. You got the earful today. is not only do you make room for your relatives, unlike Mary and Joseph's relatives who didn't make room for them. Forget the innkeeper. He was just running a business and he was filled up. He let him have a stable, though. That was cool. It was more than the friends and relatives did. My question for you is, if you could be any animal at the manger, at the stable, what animal would you be? I've asked this in Sunday school before, the past few years at Christmas. But I had a friend, a member of this congregation, send me a Christmas card. Listen to this. The Christmas card had the animals. No Mary and Joseph, no manger, no stable. It had animals talking to each other. If you could be any animal at the manger, the camel said, I will bear him gifts. Think three wise men. The donkey said, I will carry him back and forth from Nazareth to Bethlehem and Bethlehem to Nazareth. The fish said, I will pay his taxes. I thought there was a fish at the stable? Where does the fish come in? But later on, as he was a man, the fishermen, that's how they paid their taxes. They, sold the fish and then they gave the money to the Roman Empire. And Jesus was a part of the fishermen. So the fish, I will pay his taxes. That was a new one to me. The cow, I will quench his thirst. Okay, I get it. Yogurt, milk, ice cream. Ice cream's even more important. The dove said, I will bless his baptism. The chicken, it will feed him. I'm thinking bacon and eggs. We're not going to kill the chicken in a pot, but bacon and eggs, okay? The sheep said, I will keep him warm with my wool. And then the pig. The pig said, I will let him fill me with demons, and I will jump off the cliff and, what? Wait, what? You remember that story when Jesus, the 1,000 demons in the man possessed, he sent them into the herd of swine, and they jumped off the cliff? The poor pig. But then I thought, I'm no better. Bacon and eggs? I'm thinking bacon back row. Yeah, the best Christmas meal I've had. I'll tell you about BLT and then eggs. 12:30. I had bacon and eggs and hash browns. It was comfort food because I hadn't eaten all day because I was working. Which animal would you be? Okay, if you don't want to deal with relatives, and I know how hard that is. I didn't say anything about my sister, right? Until my dad asked her a question and I looked over and said, she's not here with us, Dad. My mom remembers it, that we drove and there were people behind us wanting to get some gas. And they weren't 18, pumps back then like they have now. And so my dad pulled forward, but she wasn't in the car. I don't think my dad drove down the road as I remember. That's an old wives' tale, in my mind. But he pulled forward in the parking lot and where she didn't know where we were. And she came out of the bathroom, I guess my mom said, and she was looking around like, and my dad got out of the car and went and got her. She was 5 years old. I was 7, okay? Do you make room for your relatives in your lives? Amen. We should have sung Away in a Manger where the cattle are lowing and the baby doesn't cry or anything. But we're singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, all the verses, hymn number 270.
Thank you.
and the prayers of the church. Our confession of faith this second day of Christmas is the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. Page 105, we confess our faith in these same words of the Apostles' Creed. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus' only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers, our bishops Elizabeth Eden and Christian Kemple. This whole month of December, we are remembering CECA, Eastern Idaho Community Action Agency, Maria Gabriel, their director. We were part of the Adopt-A-Child Christmas Program. There's information about that in the bulletin. Nationally and around the world, we pray for all people, especially during these holy days, who have lost property and life. Due to the heat, drought, wildfires, flooding now, and mudslides in the United States, COVID-19 pandemic, and especially the tornadoes in Kentucky and the surrounding 8 states that suffered from that weeks ago. We also pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to these crises. We pray a prayer of joy and thanksgiving this day, and we celebrate with the great-grandparents. The birth at 12:30 this morning. This is the second day of Christmas. I was thinking of Christmas morning, but it's the second day of Christmas. Bless him. Okay. Bless him. Okay. We have somebody who was born on Christmas yesterday. Yesterday he was born. He's in the back row. No, we have somebody who was born on Christmas Day in the back. My father's birthday was the 29th of December, so we are always very conscious of that, you know, being the holidays and that. But we celebrate the birth at 12:30 this morning. Cash Woodrow Carlson, 2 months premature, but is in NICU at Pocatello. And we pray for he, his parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. We certainly pray for all those who are sick, hospitalized, or in need anyway during these holy days and these seasons. And then due to death and Rick Bauer, who died on Thursday morning, will be buried from here on Wednesday the 29th, my best friend's birthday and my father's birthday, at 11 a.m. in this place. Wednesday, this next Wednesday. We also, I learned this morning listening to the news, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Most of you may know that name from the news. He was a South African archbishop, a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church, and an advocate against apartheid and getting that out of the South. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was 90 years old this morning as he died. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You come to us in gatherings of your church across the world. Unite us with those who celebrate your birth, even when we are weighed down by grief, loss, poverty, hunger, and injustice. Hear us, O God, your mercy. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. As your whole creation praises the name of the Lord, from the greatest to the smallest, breathe new life into each of us, that we live in harmony with one another, the earth, the universe, and to praise your name, praise the Lord. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You come through relationships of many kinds, families and relatives, friendships, communities and nations. Guide us in those relationships that we recognize the Christ child in one another and show your love to each other. Your grace, your compassion, and your mercy, especially to those most vulnerable. Hear us, O God.
He is great.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. God of comfort and care, You come near, Emmanuel, God with us, in times of worry and need. Be present with those suffering from illness of mind, body, or spirit. Come and be present with all who await changes and challenges in their lives during this holy season. Come, Lord Jesus, come. O come, Emmanuel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing and singing your praise, O Lord, we give you thanks for this congregation, St. John's Lutheran Church of Miracle Falls. For our neighbors, for our visitors, for those members who are absent from this worship service, we pray. Join their songs and praise with ours and fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all those who are working through this world pandemic. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers. Bless all those who transport and administer vaccines across our community, our nation, and the world. Lord, give your Holy Spirit's presence and peace to those who find themselves especially in harm's way and who are weary from their work and their tasks at hand. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you during this holy season. Especially this day, we lift up Rick, Desmond, and those whom we now name before you in our own hearts and our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before. We look to you in hope and trust, joy and peace, knowing that you will do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the first Sunday of Christmas, the second Sunday of, or the second day of Christmas, two turtle doves. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Brenda Carter. Happy birthday this week to Michael Gallegos, Jameson Taylor, Melanie Kress, Jeff Winberg, Ryan Funk, Kelsey George, right? I had Colton down here, but I just learned her name. Yeah, George, and baby George. Yeah. Kelsey George, also known as Nee Colton, and then Tracy Woodworth. Happy anniversary this week to Jim and Debbie Teedy, Tyler and Haley Rowe. There'll be no coffee hour today, because of the snow and the blow. We're going to resume it next Sunday. Next Sunday, there'll be coffee hour, and then on the 9th, two Sundays from today, will be Sunday school, unless it were snowed in. Thank you to Ann Casperson and Marilyn Allen for the gift of music this morning and for their music ministry. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections to the ones found there? If you notice, our worship bulletin has more announcements in it, so we don't have to do this whole commercial thing. Okay, Arnie Burgermeister, so when you do it, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. You all know the old joke about the cow, the chicken, and the pig. The cow says, I give of myself. And the pig said, yeah, but you only give milk. And the chicken says, I give of myself. And the pig said, yeah, but you only give eggs. And they both looked at the pig and then they said, what do you give? He goes, from nose to tail. Yeah. Yay for bacon. Bacon and eggs, comfort food. I had it at 12:30 Christmas morning. It was wonderful. We will continue by singing our offertory hymn. Thank you for your faithfulness in offering and the like. Offertory hymn is hymn number 186, Creating Me a Clean Heart, O God.
bless us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possession. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love and grace. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise for the great Thanksgiving found on page 144 as we prepare for the Eucharist. Page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you. Salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise their name, praise your name, and join their unending Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave for all them to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing prepared for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146. In the front of the hymnal, page 146.
Lamb of God, you take the sin of all. Thank you.
grace given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of blood of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. And the Lord bless you and keep you this day and every day of your life, Lord, this week. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ.
Please rise. Post-communion candle is hymn number 208, and then the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Strengthen us with this gift, in faith and trust toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hymn 290, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Blessed second day of Christmas. There are 10 more coming. Yay.